Why? How many of you have ever asked Google a why question? Anybody? All the time, right? We're going to be talking about why over the next several weeks. Before we get into that, help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us today. Come on, North Campus, help me welcome them. All of you guys, we're excited about what's happening and all the things that are taking place. We really are one church, just multiple locations. We're glad you're there today, all the way up in Illinois today at Craneville. We're excited about what's happening in Sparta, looking at launching a church there, and just a lot of great things happening in Illinois, as well as all of you in Tennessee. We welcome you today. We're glad you're a part of today. This Wednesday night, Adamsville, Savannah, you're coming together at the Adamsville campus. It's going to be a great night. Just all the things that are happening, we're excited about what's taking place. Love and Truth Church is all about changing lives to change our world, right? And the way that we do that, three quick words for you. Just remember, this is not the sermon. The word encourage, encouraging people. That's what we're about. Week in and week out, we want you to be encouraged. That's what Sunday morning is about. We want you to leave encouraged when you leave this place. Life change taking place in your life. We want to engage you with your purpose. That's what our next step classes are about. If you haven't gotten involved in that, get involved, because in that, you're going to find out what it is that God has for you, your purpose, your place, your passion, all those things you can live out. And then lastly is the word encounter. It's about encountering His presence, because we know that in God's presence, in a moment, He can do more than we can do in a lifetime. Amen? And so we found that to be true. That's what our Wednesday night times are all about, and we would love to have you to be a part of this house that's making a difference in the world. I'm beginning a new series today called Why. Today we're going to talk about why giants, okay? Why giants? Would you say that with me? Why? Come on, say it like you mean it. Why giants? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We open our hearts to receive today. And we just ask you right now, Lord, to prepare us to receive what you want to speak to us. And we just say thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to talk about giants today. And here's something I'm going to do today. I need a little music for this sermon, all right? So if they could just give me a little music right now, guys, for this sermon. Could you do that? Come on, pump it up a little bit back there, Mr. Sound Man. Come on, you ready? You ready? Come on. A little giant fighting music, a little overcoming music, I'm gonna wait on you. We'll play the whole Rocky theme if you don't get there. All right? Come on, turn it. Come on. You ready to talk about? Thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit about why giants. When I use the term giants, here's what I'm talking about. Giants are those insurmountable obstacles that we face in our life. How many of you have had some giants in your life? Would you hold your hand up? There are some things that you have faced. Listen, I don't know if you can live over 30 minutes without having one. All right, you can't be on this planet very long without having some insurmountable obstacles that come along in your life. And the reason, let's go even talk for a second, the reason that the Rocky movies were so successful for so long, and now we've gone into Creed 1 and Creed 2, and God only knows who we'll come up with next, but it is because it's always about overcoming. It's always about the obstacle. It's always about defeating something that doesn't seem like we can defeat. Well, there's a story in Scripture. Most of you know it, but if you don't know it, let me just share it with you. It's about a guy named David. He's a shepherd boy. It's found in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. So if you want to go there, and we'll be there in a few minutes. In 1 Samuel 17, it tells us about David. Now, David is the youngest of the family. He's the runt of the litter. And so he's the one who gets sent out into the backside of nowhere to take care of a bunch of sheep. His brothers are all in the army. They're all men of war. And there's a certain time of year that the Bible says that it's time for the kings to go to battle. And so the king calls all the men together and they go to battle. And one day David's father calls him in and he says, here, I want you to pack a lunch and I want you to take it to your brothers and I want you to find out how the battle is going. Now, listen, David is somewhere between 14 to 18 years of age when this happens. And what we know about David is this, is that he has been raised his entire life believing that God was on his side. He has been told from the time of birth that God is for him, that the children of Israel are mighty and that God is on their side. They've got the Ark of the Covenant, and if they've got the Ark of the Covenant, that means they are going to win. So David goes, and he's expecting, I mean, think about this. He's a young boy, the testosterone is flowing in his body, so he's going, and he's expecting when he gets there that there's just going to be blood and guts for miles. That's what young boys believe and want, all right? If you don't believe it, why do you think they sit and stare at a game for hours on end, all right? And so what he does is he comes up over the hill expecting this great battle and the Israelites winning, and what he finds is a bunch of babies hiding out in their tents. And so he starts listening to the conversation. I'm going to start this story in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, in verse 25. Here's what it says. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see this man who keeps coming out?" Because what's been happening is there's a guy who's 9 feet tall. Whenever Cleveland won the one time they won something. Anyways, that was wrong, Eddie. That was just wrong. And we were in the airport, and LeBron James was in there, and he is just massive. But he is nothing compared to this guy that's there. Goliath is over 9 feet tall, according to Scripture. And so it says, now the Israelites have been coming. Do you see this man, this Goliath, who keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. Now listen to what they say next. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Look in verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, "Say what? What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" Now listen to what David said. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now that's not Sunday school language. That's even not mixed company language. I'm going to keep it PG so you can relax if your kids are in here, all right? But this, he's not being real kind when he says this, all right? So they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Now, here's what I found out about obstacles. I'm going to give you six things today about obstacles or giants and why you need them in your life, because I want to tell you, you need to have giants in your life. Now, we don't think we do. We want everything to be nice, and we don't ever want to have a problem, and we don't want to ever go through a difficulty. We want everything to just be, I just want life to be peaceful, and I want it to be happy. I want to always have plenty of money. I want my kids to always get along. That's a joke. Right? I want to get along with my companion. That's another one. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there's all these things we say, but it really is not what is going to help us. And so what we have to do is that we have to come to that place of understanding that the number one thing that a giant does is that it gives you an opportunity, okay? It gives you an opportunity to see what it is that God wants to do in your life. Here's what I believe. I believe every giant I face helps me to fulfill my destiny. I believe every problem that comes along in my life is not just there to defeat me. It will defeat me if I let it, but it is sent in my direction to give me the ability to see what it is that God wants to do in my life. How many of you today say, "Pastor, I got a few of those giants in my life"? Would you hold your hand up? Those of you campuses, come on. I got several of them in my life today that I would say are obstacles that I'm facing. Some of them are small. Some of them are penny ante. They're real easy to get rid of. But there are some things that I'm facing today that are pretty big in my life. Now, here's what everybody was doing. All of these men were living in fear of this 9-foot-tall, and they kept talking about this giant. David never calls him a giant, and David never refers to anything about that. They are all talking about how big he is, how massive he is, how horrible it is to go up against him. David's thought was, listen, I know he's big, but he's so big I can't miss. Think about that. I mean, when the problem gets bigger, it just means I can tackle this one at any point, any way around, and I'm going to come forth and I'm going to win. See, here's the deal. Fear only sees the problem. Fear says, ooh, look how big he is. Oh my, he's killed so many other men. Oh, it's just horrible. But faith transcends fear and sees an opportunity. What is it today that you're facing right now? It may be a physical infirmity. It may be something in your marriage. It may be a job situation. It may be something that's just simply right between your two ears. Because what people have said to you and what they have told you, and you have allowed them to tell you those things. And it's in those moments that we have to determine whether or not we are going to rise to the challenge. Let me say this to you, and please don't miss this. Those of you watching from our campuses, get this today. You will have giants in your life. Nobody gets through this life without facing some giants. Well, why should I have to go through that? Why should I have that happen? Because it gives you the opportunity to see what God can do on your behalf. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 28. Through verse 30. It says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, how many of you have some older siblings? You got an older brother, sister? Aren't they fun? When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, now listen, why have you come down here? Because my daddy said to. Now listen to how he belittles him. And with who did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? See what he's doing? He's talking down to him. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. And David goes, get out of my face. Some of you, just a side note, some of you need to tell some people, get out of your business. Now what have I done, said David. Can I even speak? Now watch what he did. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. He said, when Eliab said it to him, he turned around and he said, hey, tell me about that money thing again. How many of you believe this is a pretty good incentive? I like incentive plans. I'm going to give you a lot of money. You're going to get to marry the king's daughter. And I don't care what she looks like. She's the king's daughter. So why do y'all look at me like that? I don't care if she's ugly. I'm now part of the king's house. And then thirdly, nobody is going to worry about April the 15th ever again. Give me some good news. I'll take that any day. Now, here's what's happening in this moment. Is that Eliab says to him, and Eliab tries to push him down. See, here's what giants do. Giants define who you are. Problems define who you are. Problems show you what's really down inside of you. See, there are a lot of you today that people wouldn't have given you 20 cents to ever have become anything. They would have looked at your life and say, they're a loser from the beginning. They would look at your circumstances. They would look at your race. Or they would look at your gender. Or they would look at where you were raised. Or they would look at the circumstances of your life. And they would say to you, that person's never going to amount to anything. But you said, wait a minute, I refuse to allow the circumstances or people around me to define who I am. See, what we've got to do is we've got to determine who defines you. Are you going to allow the older brother syndrome to define you? Are you going to allow the naysayers in your life, the people who always remember when you did the bad thing, when you messed up, when you went through the divorce, when you lost the business, when you failed the grade, when you didn't make it? Are you going to allow them to constantly? Come on, some of you got those people in your life, and every week they're reminding you of your latest, greatest failure. Man, you know, I've known you all your life. Can I just help some of us? You know that cell phone thing? God created a really good thing when God created caller ID. Now, you said God didn't create it. I think he did. And when you see Eliab calling, click. I'm not talking to Eliab. I refuse. Listen, I refuse to allow, I don't mean to be rude, I refuse to allow your negativism to determine where I'm going with my life. I will not allow you to define who I am. You don't have to like me, you don't have to agree with me, but you have to come to that place of saying, you better get out of that boy's way or he will run over you. See, that there's got to come something in our lives, in our life, that says, what did David do? After David gets hit again by his brothers, says, you're this, what David does is he goes back and he says, hey, tell me about that money, tell me about that wife, and tell me about that no taxes stuff. What was he doing? He was keeping his eye on the prize. He was keeping his eye. Now, if you don't get it, I'll have him play some music again. He was keeping his eye on the prize. It was in that moment that he said, I refuse to be deterred from what it is that I believe that God wants to do in my life. Verse 31 and verse 32, we're going to do a lot of reading today, but I want you to get it because I want you to see it in the scripture. Verse 31 says, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Now, Saul is the king. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Now, here's the third thing that giants do in your life is that they put you with the right people. See, the king is the one who's going to reward whoever it is that defeats Goliath. You've got to come to that place where you understand that when you start facing your giant, when you start saying, why is this giant? What's this thing? No, wait a minute. This giant has come into your life so that God can position you and get you into the right place so that you can receive what it is that God has for you. Here's the deal about giants. Giants move me into new realms. See, I'm going, watch this. David is going in a moment, yesterday I'm a shepherd boy, today I'm hanging out with the king. And don't miss it, and tomorrow I'm going to be living in the palace. It's exactly what happened. One day. See, you are only one day away from a miracle. You are only one day away from your promotion. You are only, don't miss it. You are only one day away, one situation away, one giant away from God in a moment taking you and elevating you. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying in that moment, because now when God shows up, nobody, it doesn't matter who's against you if God is for you. Doesn't matter. So we got to understand that. And again, for the sake of time, I don't do it. Verse 36, David begins to recount to King Saul. And he says, hey, King, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear that came out against my sheep. And he said, and again, he doesn't use nice word, and this uncircumcised Philistine is just like them. I'll take him out don't sweat it. See, here's the fourth thing about giants, is that giants help you to remember your past victories. Come on. Ever had any victories in the past? Ever seen God move on your behalf last week, 10 years ago, 20 years, sometime back? I remember as a 25-year-old kid taking the Adamsville Church, and it was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And I remember about 5 years later, we got ready to build a building. Building was 12,000 square feet total, all right? It wasn't a big building. It was going to cost $360-something thousand. I remember sitting in the banker's office trying to borrow $360,000. I'm a 30-year-old kid. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, you going to be able to pay this money back?" And my mouth said, "Yes." But something in here went, "Oh, Jesus, I sure hope so." I mean, there was this quake. I didn't, sometimes you got to fake it before you make it, right? There was this calm demeanor on the outside, at least I thought I was. But inside, if I had stood up then, my knees would have been knocking. But you know what happened? In about a 4-year time span, we paid off that amount. We built another building. We paid off that amount. We built another building. We paid off that amount. We built another building. We paid off that. We came to Jackson. We built here 4 times. And I can remember in 2007, 2008, when the Great Recession hit, and that was when we were getting ready to build all of this. And I can remember going to the bank then needing $4-point-something million. It didn't bother me near the level that $360,000 is. Why? Because I had seen what God could do. I knew what the past victory, that's what David is saying. Listen, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, I've done all these things, and I know that I can do this. Here's the deal about past victories. Past victories are my resume for the future. See, I just go, whew, look what I did. I killed a lion one day. Really? Yeah. And the other day I killed a bear, and there was a fox that came along, and there was a crow. But I killed all of these. And I take him too. He's coming down. He's coming down. See, when you begin to rehearse your past victories, something begins to well up inside you. There's something. In fact, that's the next thing that I want you to see. Look in verse 37. Here's what verse 37 says. He said, "The Lord has rescued me," and I think he's getting with it. "The Lord has rescued me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, and will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to him, "Go and the Lord be with you." I mean, Saul's getting excited. Yeah, have you ever found out that when you get around people who are passionate about something, you get excited as well? See, here's the deal. A giant produces passion. It's just another day in the neighborhood. Let's hang out with Mr. Rogers. Let's put our sweaters on, put our tennis shoes on. Howdy, neighbor. But let a wild lion start coming through the neighborhood. You're not going to be hanging with Mr. Rogers. You want somebody got a little something-something on them. Pardon my grammar. You're not wanting that meek, mild guy. You want that crazy guy. You know, one eye's kind of a little sideways. Don't look at anybody. Here's what I know. You will never change anything that doesn't anger you. In fact, if you want to know what your call in life is, I can tell you in one of two ways you'll know. What is it that you get angry about, or what is it that you weep about? That's what you're called to do with your life. If you look at poverty and it makes you angry, you're to help people get out of poverty. If you look at children being raised in single parent homes and it breaks your heart, you got a call to help that. See, it's that anger. Back in 1980, there was a young girl who was walking to actually a church carnival. Her name was Carrie, and as Carrie was walking to a church carnival in California, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a car left the roadway, jumped the curb, hit her, and killed her instantly. In that moment, the driver takes off. They find him a little while later, and he's drunk. This wasn't the first time that he had been arrested for drunk driving. He had done it over and over again. So when the police went to Carrie's mom and said, we've got some news, your daughter's been killed. Candy's question was to the police officer, well, what's going to happen to this man? And the policeman looked at her and said, honestly, not much. He's probably going to get out real quickly and going to be back doing it again. And Candy Leitner got mad. And she said, this is not right in America. And she formed a group called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. In 1980, there were over 30-something thousand fatalities because of drunk driving. In 2015, there were around 10,000, less than half, because somebody said, I am not going to settle for life being like this anymore. She was a nobody. Nobody had ever heard of her. Nobody knew her. She didn't have some great professional name. She wasn't somebody that everybody was looking to. But she said, this angers me, and I am passionate about this, and I am going to make a difference. Listen, here's what I want to ask you today. What is it in your life that you have let go, and you have let it go, and you have let it go, and you have let it go, and it is time for you to get mad about it. It is time for you to get angry about it. It is time for you to let some passion, because yes, you may just be one person, but one person literally can change the laws of a nation. The legislation of America changed because somebody got mad. What is it that the Lord has put you on this earth for? Listen, I don't think any of us are put here just to take up space and breathe up somebody else's air. We're all placed here for a purpose and a reason. What is it that God has placed you here to do? And you say, well, that is really hard. Yeah, it is. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But he's called you to. Let me give you some more. Verse 45 through 47. Said David sees the Philistine and he runs to him. I like that part. And he said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear, with all this armor and all of this. But he said, I've come to you with the name of the Lord God Most High. And all that David had was he had a little shepherd's sling, and the Bible says, in five smooth stones. Now what we have to understand is this. He said, I'm not going by myself. He said, God's with me. Here's what you've got to get today. We are never alone. Jesus told his disciples, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but I will go with you till the end of the age. There may be some of you who are here at one of our campuses today, and you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me stop for this moment and say, you need him. Because you're going to face a giant. You're going to come up against something that wants to destroy you. And yes, you may can do some good things, and yes, you may can overcome some things, but I promise you, you are never, ever going to truly live the victorious life without Jesus Christ with you. Here's what we've got to do, is that we've got to remember who's on our side. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who is it today? You say, well, these people don't like me. So? The fact, here's, I got a scripture for you on that. You ready? And I'm not making it, it's in the Bible. The Word of God says, beware when all men speak well of you. I've never worried about that one day in my life. There's always somebody ticked off at me. You know, somebody says, do people at your church get mad at you? I said, yeah, about 20%. They said, well, how do you stay there? I said, I just rotate that 20%. I said, I'll make this 20% mad this week. Next week, I get another 20. I just keep them rotating, and we're all okay. See, you got to understand that God has called you to live a victorious life. And he's with you. If he's called you to do it, he's with you. And what I've learned is this, is that in those moments when God calls me to face that giant, I want to run. I don't want to do this. I don't want to face another giant. I don't want to face another battle. I want to go sit down and let somebody else go fight. Ever been there? And yet God called me to the battle. This is my giant. This is my moment where I can see what it is that God wants to do. Chapter 18, and for the sake of time again, won't read it, but it's where David and Jonathan come together and they swear this loyalty oath to each other. And it's in that moment that you have to understand that your giant produces favor in your life. People say, man, it's just not fair. And if you've been around here very long, you've heard me make this statement. And for all English people, just, you know, you like grammar right, I'm going to mess it up. So get ready. Favor ain't fair. It's just not fair. Ever heard that? We were just in California this week with my daughter and her husband and our grandkids, and we were talking about something. It was her birthday one day this week, and Ashley said to me, she said, Dad, you've told me all my life that life's not fair. And I said, yeah, and it's been right, haven't I? Well, life's not fair. Get over that. Quit trying to act like it is. Favor's not fair. I mean, why do they, I'm only making $10 an hour, and why is that guy making, I was talking to a guy the other day, part of one of our campuses, and he told me, he said, when my company sends me out, he said, it's $400 an hour. And you go, ooh, I want that $400 an hour. But the problem is, I'm only fighting $10 giants. Yikes. Here goes political incorrectness. I don't want everybody making the same thing because we are not all the same. Okay, come on, millennials, don't shut me down now. All right? The thing that keeps us pushing is knowing we can better ourselves. And the moment you tell me that everybody's going to get the same no matter what we do is the moment I want you to move to another country and do it somewhere else. Now I'll quit. What we have to understand is this. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get favor in my life? Here it is. Favor comes to fighters. Favor, somebody said we need music again. Favor comes. I should have set that up, shouldn't I? Just should have had it come in right there. Favor comes to fighters. It comes in that moment where you say, it's massive, it's big, it's overwhelming, it looks like it's going to destroy. But wait a minute. Why did God let this giant on this day or in this season of my life come? It's because God knows, first of all, the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. Scripture goes on and says that before God ever begins a thing, he goes and completes it and then goes all the way back and starts it. So before you ever showed up to the battlefield, God already knew. Oh, yeah, and by the way, if you don't know the whole story, David goes out with five smooth stones. He takes one of them, throws it, hits the giant right in the forehead. The giant falls. He grabs his sword, and he cuts his head off. And he grabs it, and he holds it up and says, this is what you guys should have been doing all along. And the Bible says, and the Philistines turned and ran when their giant fell to the ground. I don't have time to develop this. The enemy is standing, waiting, and if you back up, he'll run at you. But if you run at him and whack his head off and just hold it up, everybody, see the head. They go, whew, we better get out of here. Let's leave. I've heard the analogy of the five stones. They represented, you know, J-E-S-U-S. They represented the five, but yeah, I don't think they represented any of that. Because if you read scripture, what you find is that Goliath had four other brothers. He said, I'll take him and all the rest of them that keep coming. You send out another one, he's going down. See, I like that kind of faith. How big? Not worry about it. He's so big, I can't miss. How many of them? Doesn't matter. If I can take one, I can take them all. God lets giants, and I'm done, God lets giants come along in our lives because it's the only way we will ever reach our destiny. And that's what you got to seal inside of your spirit today. Amen?